Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Seth Emerson from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on Georgia taking home the national championship against Alabama. The choice is yours coming up at 7:45. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. So looking forward to that this hour. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we have people yelling at you both on YouTube and on Twitter and on the text line as well.
Did I misspeak? About
how the Titans can't play the Bills into the AFC title games.
I know this.
I think you made the Patriots. It's all good.
Yeah, I know they can't play the Bills. Did I say that they play the winner?
Yeah, I think you just said Bills. Okay, I think you meant Patriots.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my bad. Yes, I'm aware. Okay, so, yeah, I know. John Galton is like, tell Rex, there's no way the Titans play the Bills their first game. Yeah, no, that's just a misspeak on my part. They can play the winner of that game, if the winner of that game is the Patriots, because they're the six. If it's, you know, obviously if it's the Bills, then you go to the winner of the 4-5 game, Raiders Bengals. So I apologize. Look, first time I've ever misspoken on this show.
It is.
So, you know, it's about once every couple years, okay? Just savor the flavor.
Yeah, it'll be all right. Everything's going to be okay with Joe Rex Road here today on the program. So with that in mind, that does bring up an interesting question. If you're a Titans fan, what are you rooting for this weekend? What do you want to see happen? Now, like a lot of people would say, well, man, we would sure love the Pittsburgh Steelers to take down the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm sure you would. I'm sure that is probably at the top of most Titans fans' lists as to what they would see happen. I think we probably both realize that the chances of that happening may be the lowest of any of the games in the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen some crazier things before, I guess.
If it does happen, by the way, they're going to come in here and win too. So,
yeah, probably.
I'll show up right at kickoff after washing many cars, and then they're going to go beat the Titans, and it'll be the most magical finish for Roethlisberger ever.
Can't wait for the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia Super Bowl, the Pennsylvania Bowl, coming up a little bit later this postseason. It's interesting. Like, you've lost to the Steelers. You've lost to the Patriots. And both of those are options for you as you move forward here. You've not played Las Vegas or Cincinnati this season. I know you played Cincinnati a season ago and got a firsthand look at what Joe Burrow can do, and so did Jonathan Joseph in that game, by the way. But like some really intriguing options that are on the table. If everything stays chalk and Kansas City wins and Buffalo wins and Cincinnati takes down Vegas, you're going to be taking on the Bengals in the second round. I do wonder which matchup Titans fans are pulling for the most. Do you want another shot at the Patriots? Do you want another shot at the Steelers? Are you taking your chances with either the Raiders or the Bengals? It's going to be fascinating to see how this shakes out.
Yeah, and if I was the Titans, remove the Steelers. Everybody would agree on that. But if I were the Titans looking at those three teams and I actually had a vote and I could pick my opponent, I'd pick the Patriots. If the Patriots go win in Buffalo, impressive. It will be very impressive if they can do that. I like them. They're a good defensive team. They can run the ball. Mac Jones has been fine. He's been good as a rookie. To me, the Raiders and Bengals both could come in here and just throw you out of the playoffs. You know, both of those quarterbacks could throw you out of the playoffs. Mac Jones, to me, can't. So that would be my choice for sure, even though I think certainly your offense would probably like to match up better against either of those other two teams.
I would agree. Now, everybody's going to point back to when the Patriots just totally throttled the Titans earlier this year. That was also, to me, probably the one game where they may have been at their lowest from an injury standpoint, from a health standpoint. They'd be in a pretty drastically different situation, you would think, into a matchup against the Patriots this time.
Yeah, I need to go back and look at. We know that they had no receivers in that game, But I want to say they're also missing O-linemen, inside linebackers, outside linebackers. Like, they were – I think that was their worst, you know, key player participation day. And they still ran for 270. And right there in that game, if they don't fumble the ball away, and even defensively, actually they were fine other than on some really bad displays of tackling that let the Patriots turn short plays into big plays.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Adam in Portland texting in says, I mean this with all sincerity. It doesn't matter who they play. The only team that scares me is the Titans. If we play sloppy, Pittsburgh could thrash us. If we play clean, we'll beat anybody. Tannehill, Julio, Derek, AJ, they all need to be loud this week and next. Keep players focused on that offense. This coming from Adam in Portland on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is you eliminate the play down to somebody thing. That's out. It's a playoffs. You know, it's everybody's good. I mean, even if you play the Steelers, well, they beat you. So, but seriously, like that's not an option. They beat you. So you can get rid of that. Whatever that is with the Titans here and there where they just sort of – I mean, I think some of it's natural. You see it around the league. But the Titans, it seems sure. to be – especially an issue. Maybe it's more of an issue to us because that's the team that we watch all the time, but you can get that out of there. And I agree. I mean, the turnovers are – I mean, I think it's always true, right? Go through the history of the playoffs this league. How many games, like one just huge strip sack or one huge interception or one big explosive play, you know, that makes a difference in a game. I would agree. If you tell me the Titans are going to be, you know, in the on the plus side of the turnover situation, then I like their chances a lot. They just that's the thing I can't really put my finger on is why. I mean, there's different stories for different games and different turnovers, but it's like they either have, I mean, the overall they're minus, they're not where you want to be, but that's because they've had some just terrible weeks, and then they've also had some very good weeks. I can't totally understand, you know, why they're so sort of all over the place with the turnovers.
Logan on the text line says, Steelers for sure. I hate their fan base and would just love to watch Henry run it down their throat. But I also know that's not going to happen. It's coming from Logan on the text line.
Yeah, that's the dream. Pittsburgh is the dream, the terrible towel.
I mean, I would guess, like, if I'm looking around at fan bases that are left in the playoffs, I think Steelers fans are probably who Titans fans hate the most. That's left in there, I would think. But I wouldn't think there's some big rivalry between Titans fans and Bengals fans, but maybe that could be something that develops in the future. Who knows?
Buffalo fans stink.
Man, you are going to get
Bills Mafia.
Like, if you got somehow like Bills Mafia and Vol Twitter after you at once, you would need to get off the internet. So I'm just telling you, you know, just be tread lightly. Tread lightly on these folks. You know, the thing about the Pittsburgh, it's not just like that you want to play Pittsburgh, but if you play Pittsburgh, that means that, like, the Chiefs are out of the way. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it would be talk about just opening up the bracket. So I don't know, man. I don't see the path to that. There's always a path because we just talked about the number one equalizer in football, which is turnover. So yep. You tip a couple Patrick Mahomes passes at the line and, you know, TJ Watt. Is a great player, and he gets in there, and you get you a strip sack, and you know you put the pressure on them, make it a fourth quarter game. It's possible, but I think it's probably going to be Chiefs 38, Steelers 13.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says Titans versus Mariota would be an interesting game. What do you think about that? The Marcus Mariota revenge tour game.
Well, I was texting with our buddy Munson last night, who was at the Preds game actually, but. You know, of course, Alabama grad, tough week for him, but he's got his Raiders. He and Fitz have got their Raiders, and so that's what, you know, he's rooting hard for to see them in this stadium. And I promise you, if that game happens, there will be some like third and two, you know, bring in Mariota, read option, run for a first down, and he is going to give the first down signal so hard, man.
Oh yeah. He's going to just run over to the Titans sideline and just start barking at Tannehill right in his face. Just run back to the huddle. I can't wait for it.
Marcus was a sneaky, every once in a while, trash talker out there, you know, which is kind of interesting.
Sasbury Church.
That's right. I mean, he gave it to him on that play, you know, and here and there a little bit too. So, I'm here for that all day. A week of Marcus, a week of listening to you tell us how he was the worst quarterback in NFL history. I'm all the way there for that, man.
Then he'll run back over to the sideline and go for a high five and just totally misfire. Just keep things on brand over there. Be good stuff.
You must have been the absolute number one Mariota hater when he was there, weren't you?
I was just the first. Here to throw it out there. I was the first one.
Like right away? Like he had the perfect QB rating in his first game against the Bucs? And you're like, yeah, he sucks.
That wasn't that quick.
Okay.
It was about year three. I was like, all right, yeah, this guy's not it.
Yeah, well, year three is when it started to be like, huh, where is this going? Year two was pretty good. Year two was pretty good.
Year two was pretty good. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What matchup in the playoffs for the Titans are you rooting for the most? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And be joined by Seth Emerson from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia taking down Alabama in the national title game. That coming up here in about 13 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, have a texter that says, normally they alternate introductions for offense and defense. The offense was introduced for Miami game. Do they switch it back to the offense so they can intro Derrick Henry? The fans need it. My immediate response to that is, if the Titans have any sense at all, there's no chance the offense is not the one that's introduced coming up on whenever the Titans play in divisional round.
I mean, it would be like an egregious mistake to not introduce the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. It's interesting that you – I mean, honestly, I didn't even realize that. Is that what they normally do? I mean, I know some teams – like there are teams that have – like last year, I guess last year was a weird year anyway, you know, with the crowd. But, I mean, some teams – that are way better on one side of the ball or the other, they just intro like their – or they have a side of the ball with a superstar. They just intro that side all the time, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Lions, you know, just made sure that it was Barry coming out last, you know, no
Probably
matter
good call.
What. Yeah, yeah.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in says, all right, turn this question around. Which team would you least like to see in the first round? That's who I would like to see, because we seem to do better against the harder tests. This coming from Jim on the text line. So which team would you least like to see if you're the Titans in the divisional round?
You know, my instinct is to say Bengals, just because I really think Burrow is on his way to being a top QB in this league for a long time. And I think Ja'Marr Chase is just – I mean,
dude, he's already a top receiver.
Yeah, I mean, 81 for 14, 55, and 13 touchdowns. I mean, he is something else. So that's my instinct. But I will say this. I feel like the Raiders, if they – I'm interested to see how the Raiders come out. The Raiders, you think about all they've gone through this year. It's an incredible story that they got to the postseason. I mean, they had to go win an Indy, which I didn't think was going to happen. There's a lot of things they did down the stretch that were really impressive. And obviously, they just had this incredible final game. It's just an all-timer of a game to get in. So, are they riding the wave, or are they tapped out? Because if they go win in Cincinnati, I will say that they will look to me like one of those teams that we see sometimes in the NFL postseason that just has a certain something. And the Titans had it a couple years ago. You know, just Titans were 2-4. They were bad. They make the switch. Ryan Tannehill turns everything around, and by the time they got to the postseason, I mean, it took a heck of a run even to get there, and then they kept going. And so if the Raiders beat the Bengals, I actually think I might – my answer might be the Raiders. I just talked myself into it. I think if they win that game, that's a dangerous team coming in here.
Well, I mean, look, nobody's going to confuse Derek Carr for Aaron Rodgers or anything like that. But, I mean, you're talking for a guy that's thrown for almost 5,000 yards and is at 7-7 an attempt this year. Derek Carr, you know, every now and then he'll make some plays where you're like, oh, boy, that was a brutal interception he just threw. Derek Carr, for the most part this year, has been pretty darn good, especially when you consider, you know, you obviously lost Henry Ruggs to that tragic situation. Your coach has been thrown out the door this year. You know, you've been without Waller at different points this year. Derek Carr has been pretty darn good this year.
Yeah, and Waller is a problem for anybody. And Josh Jacobs, yes, by the way, is a guy no one ever talks about. He's good. I mean, he's very good. So that is, I mean, that, first of all, that's going to be a really interesting game for sure. I mean, the Bengals are, what are they, 5.5-point favorites? You know, at home, I mean, it should matter. But, either of those teams, to me, is just more dangerous. Not that the Patriots couldn't come in here and win. Sure, they could. It's the NFL playoffs. But I do like that matchup better for the Titans. And I think either of those two teams playing in Cincy this weekend just have, like, we just saw it. The Titans, tremendous defensive turnaround. Pass rush is going to be a huge part of the postseason for them, but it's been way better. Everything's so much better. And they also have had a kind of a nice run here of not having to play super scary passing attacks. And all of a sudden, Davis Mills and Danny Amendola looked very scary against them. So, you know, those teams, Raiders, Bengals, they can move the ball down the field against the Titans.
Well, that's the thing, like, especially with the Bengals, with that trio at wide receiver of obviously Jamar Chase, you've got Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins as well. Like, that to me is probably the best trio in the NFL when it comes to strictly the wide receiver position. Like, they are pretty darn good. And you're talking about guys that are pretty young as well. So, you know, it's their first experience together in the playoffs. I do think experience to some degree matters in the NFL playoffs, but I would not be very comfortable if I'm Shane Bowen in this Titans defense looking across and saying, all right, we got to find a way to slow down Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. Oh, by the way, Joe Mixon in the backfield as well. There's a lot that offense brings to the table, even though I still don't think their offensive line is very good.
Yeah, and the experience matters, but I mean, a couple of years ago, you couldn't have a more experienced opponent than, right? I mean, just at coach and quarterback, especially the New England Patriots, the Titans,
sure,
for the most part. I mean, a lot of those guys on that team had been in the postseason, had been in the playoff a couple of years earlier when they won at Kansas City, lost at New England. But there was a lot of young guys on that Titans team who were having their first taste of it, you know, and that didn't stop them from winning two games. So I think sometimes you can find a lot of results in. I think you do see teams that build up, and it's like the Titans maybe building up here, right? But you also can find plenty of examples of runs of teams that didn't necessarily like pay their dues to get there. Sometimes you just get it hot at the right time.
Got a texter that says the Patriots are the matchup that they want to see. The run defense is awful, and with Henry back, it would be the best matchup for the Titans. That's kind of, though, like, what made that Patriots game so interesting is because heading into that game for the Titans, the Patriots rush defense was not awful.
Yes.
Like, it was pretty good. And then you butt up 270. Now, to the texter's point, you know, Derrick Henry is a different animal that they would have to deal with. And I feel comfortable about Derrick Henry being productive against pretty much anybody if he's back to the Derrick Henry that we know. Also feel pretty good about him holding on to the ball, which is a big deal heading into these matchups as well. But I would not – I don't know if I'd go into the matchup just saying, yeah, the Titans are going to be able to put up another 200 yards against the Patriots on the ground. I don't think it'll be that simple.
No, I don't either. And he also – like, we still don't know exactly, like, what Derrick Henry's going to be. But
right,
good to have him. I got a question on the text line. Would Jayon have helped in the Texans game since he's better at pass defense? Well, I mean, that the choice – he was their choice to – be a scratch in that game. And I think David Long has I think David Long has surpassed him. It's close, probably, in that way. But, I mean, that it wasn't really – I mean, that's not where they were getting beat, you know. That's not where they were having an issue. They were having an issue, frankly, just with one guy. I mean,
yeah.
Sweet Danny A. And Nico Collins got him once or twice, too. But so it wasn't like covering backs or tight ends from linebackers that was their issue.
I do wonder, though, like if you – let's say the Raiders are in there. Like, are you more likely, knowing that you have to take on Waller, are you more likely to dress a Jayon Brown in that game and scratch Rashawn Evans? Like, well, I'm interested to see, like, is Jayon Brown just the fourth guy now, and that is what it is as they move forward here? Or I'm really interested to see how the Titans handle that.
Yeah, I don't know because, Nick DeZubner is always active. And, you know, he's a special teams core player, but also he's on their goal line defense. I feel like Rashawn Evans is important to have for that short yardage. But I think that's a good question because against a really good tight end, I think it'd be good to have, you know, we know what the Titans do. One, they like to, in some situations, take Dane Cruikshank and make him their sort of their tight end silencer. And you can obviously with other safeties and do different things. You're going to be in zone coverages. I still would think that Jayon Brown's skill set could be useful. So, but yeah, obviously the addition of Zach Cunningham has just bumped everyone down because he's going to be on the field.
Yeah, and he should be on the field. He's been pretty darn good since he's come over and joined the Titans. When we come back, we'll be joined by Seth Emerson from The Athletic, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia taking down Alabama in the national title game. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Biggest third down Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
Coach, your freshman Kaylee Ringo with the pick six to seal the game. What was your reaction to that play?
Kaylee Ringo has been run the gamut this year. The kid has gotten so much better. I love the kid. I love his family. What a big play and a big moment. How about this university? How about these fans? This is a special moment for the University of Georgia. Special moment for this team.
What a moment. What a win for the Georgia Bulldogs the other night in the national title game against Alabama. Big win for Kirby Smart. Georgia wins their first national title in 41 years. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Seth Emerson from The Athletic, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs. Seth, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing okay. Back in Athens, where it's pretty much the same temperature as it was in Indianapolis.
That's always good. Always good stuff there. So, Seth, what impressed you the most about the way that Georgia was able to kind of hang in there and stay with it on Monday night and ultimately win their first national title in 41 years?
Well, I think just, I guess, the mental fortitude, that's what I wrote about, that kind of stood out because you always knew that talent-wise, depth-wise, physical-wise, Georgia could hang with them. They showed that over the regular season, but when they got punched in the mouth via the Alabama offense on the Georgia defense in the SEC championship, they wilted. But this time they hung in there. They kept making plays, like the goal line stand on one side. They got helped by a drop on third down, but even that was kind of forced by pressure. There were a lot of little moments where they made big plays before the big plays that we're talking about now, which is Bennett's touchdown pass to Mitchell to put them up 8, and then the Kaylee Ringo pick 6. Those are the ones that get noticed, but there were other little plays by, especially on defense, that just were essentially the difference.
Seth, it seems that Georgia fans very much traveled to Indianapolis, and Alabama fans not so much, which speaks to me of, I guess, confidence. But I'm just wondering, how much of the fan base is surprised that they finally actually turned this, got this done, and what does this do for Kirby Smart moving forward?
Well, I think for everybody, it's going to be a matter of just it's going to take a long time to process it. It's going to take until maybe next season. It's you're going to have an off season of pronouncing yourselves as champion, and then when the season starts, talking about defending champion, and people are just going to have to get used to it. And yeah, I think with Alabama fans, there was definitely some, I guess, championship fatigue, championship apathy maybe is the better way to put it, because fatigue means you're tired of winning it. And maybe nationally people are tired of Alabama winning it. But I think also you combine that with it was Indianapolis, and if you're an Alabama, typical Alabama fan, you're like, well, all right, we won it last year. We won how many different rings? Are you really going to go there to the cold? Whereas with Georgia fans, I was impressed by how much they did travel to Indianapolis, and maybe kind of surprised by how few traveled to Miami, even though I did expect most to do that. I expected most to save their money from Miami because they knew they were going to have to use it for Indianapolis. And that's the way it bared out. And it just, a lot of people, it seemed my Twitter feed, Facebook feed, just friends, by Sunday, it seemed like everybody was there. And I was just really surprised by that, because it's like I'm sitting here in Indianapolis and it's really cold and you really want to come here? It spoke to, how we talk about how attendance is tougher in sports these days because of prices, and you can watch it from the comfort of your home and your bigger HD TV and everything. But for a big event like this, so many people just wanted to be there.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Seth, what about the Stetson Bennett angle of this? Obviously, the story that goes into him getting to Georgia and taking over as the starting quarterback. The bench Stetson Bennett Twitter was in full force. It's a couple of different points in this game against Alabama to play the way he did in the second half. And then, of course, followed up with an epic interview on Good Morning America yesterday as well. Just what about the Stetson Bennett part of this?
I mean, it was everything encapsulated in the final game. There were people, demanding, why is he playing? And it was, not just typical kind of reactionary types. There were people, I wasn't trying to be on Twitter the entire game. I'm actually at the event, in the press box. I'm trying to, soak it in and write. But you glance at Twitter, and there's people you respect, whether it's fans or media members, who are saying, where's JT Daniels? And in the second half, Stetson Bennett shut everybody up and won it. And that was his career. He actually did get benched as a junior last year, and it took him forever to get a shot. But that was this year, where Stetson Bennett goes in and people are wondering where JT Daniels is. And in the end, he gets the last laugh, and it validates him. It validates Kirby Smart and Todd Monken, the decision to stick with him. It's a lot easier for even people like me who have always defended Kirby on certain QB decisions, especially the Jake Fromm, Justin Fields thing, and be able to now point and say, look, he chose to ride with Stetson Bennett when so few people thought that was a good idea, and look how it turned out. It validates so much about Kirby Smart and allows Georgia and Kirby to just kind of say, all right, we've checked that off. No longer is it about just the chase for the ring. It's now just building on it.
So is Stetson Bennett the quarterback next year? I guess there's talk maybe he could be looking around. Does he feel like, the time is coming that someone may overtake him?
I don't know. I expected, if I had to pick it, that he would ride off into the sunset at this point. That he's you know, kind of had enough of this. I think he's 23 years old. He would be a sixth year senior next year. And, you know, do you really want to go through another year of just of this? You know, I mean, if he was still getting people saying you need to bench him at halftime of the national championship game, it might come back around. But he sounded like in that Good Morning America interview. I mean, he held his cards tight when we talked to him Tuesday morning after the game, but that was after that Good Morning America interview, which I had not seen by the time we talked to him. So I would have liked to have asked him about it, but he said he wanted to play next year. He kind of said, I want to see essentially what the coaches think. I'll be curious to see. It's a pretty fascinating thing. I think there's a good chance that decisions have already been made. We're just going to start to see them over the next week. But it's really fascinating. But I think at the moment people are just kind of letting Monday night soak in.
Seth, now that the picture is complete and the championship has been won, how hard do you think it's going to be for Kirby Smart to really ever replicate the type of defense that he had this year with how just unstoppable at times they were?
Well, probably not next year because they're going to lose so many guys off this defense, but he recruited this. You know, this wasn't like he inherited this defense. He inherited basically the 2017 defense, which was almost as good as this one. That one was pretty good, but this one was better. But, you know, he could recruit it again. You know, they had five stars sitting on the bench, by the way. There was a penalty. I think the block in the back on that kickoff return was against Smail Munden. It was either against Smail Munden or Xavier Soare, both of whom were five-star linebackers who did not play this year, except in garbage time, because there wasn't playing time there for them. So those are guys that are just going to move into more playing time now. So he continues to recruit well, and yeah, I mean, you can't rule out them having a defense as good as this, an offense even better at some point, or a team as good as this. I mean, they are building the Alabama model. They have built the Alabama model.
So, Seth, I just wanted to quickly just get your thoughts on expansion. Where do you think the compromise, playoff expansion, where do you think the compromise comes there, if it ever comes?
I think people want to be at 12. It sounds like the ACC is trying to squeeze Notre Dame by sticking to 8. And in my mind, that's very short-sighted because if you're Notre Dame, you know what's going on. You know, doesn't that tick you off a little bit? Aren't you worried? Couldn't you alienate Notre Dame by continuing to stick to that? So I think they end up at 12 because it's just best for everybody. I think the details are what people are tripping up over at this point. Some of it's like hurt feelings, but talking to people when I was in Indianapolis, it's not so much the Texas-Oklahoma expansion thing. It's that working group happened without the Big Ten and Pac-12 and a few other conferences being involved. That, you know, they were going through commissioner transitions and they felt left out. There's also the TV component. They don't want ESPN to be entirely in charge of it. I get that. But in the end, like, cooler heads need to prevail. 12 works for everybody, and especially if you see the TV ratings for the Monday night's game. Like, you can't let this devolve into a regional sport. And to the SEC's credit, they get that. The SEC is dominating college football, but Greg Sankey and company are saying, we need to have a playoff where everybody's involved. Everybody feels like they have a stake. You can't have the West Coast just completely out of it. And I don't think just Lincoln Riley just going there is going to solve that. I think a 12-team playoff is great because it keeps everybody involved. You may still end up with the SEC having the two teams in the final, but the journey there, you will involve other regions of the country.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Seth, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, get some rest, Seth. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right, I'm absolutely. Yeah.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic, our guest, covers the Georgia Bulldogs. What a time to be in Athens. I'm kind of shocked it's just as cold in Athens as it is in Indy, though. It's not good.
Yeah, well, sunny Nashville waiting for a playoff game.
That's right.
That was pretty cold this morning.
could be 85 here next week, according to some on the NFL Twitter. Not sure if they have their meteorology degrees or whatever, but hey, whatever it takes, man. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life. And as always, encourage your answers, your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic, you are in the questions chair today. I turn things over to you.
Are you guys ready? Okay, sports or non-sports first?
Sports.
Sports, okay. Right now, it is very hot for Tennessee sports. We've got the Memphis Grizzlies rolling. We got the Preds rolling. We've got the Titans rolling. You can choose one team to win in this city. Grizzlies NBA championship, Predators win the Stanley Cup, or the Titans win the Super Bowl. Which team are you guys choosing?
Well, I'm going to immediately eliminate the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, I like watching them play, but they're immediately gone from this conversation for me. Look, either one would be awesome. I will go. I mean, there's just something about the Stanley Cup to me. I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's my favorite thing in sports. So I will go Preds winning a Stanley Cup. Although, I mean, Super Bowl would be pretty freaking awesome. So I could go either way, but I'll go Preds winning Stanley Cup if I had to pick one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to same thing with the Grizz. I mean, it is Memphis after all. And aren't we supposed to hate Memphis? Are we supposed to hate Memphis around here? I don't hate Memphis, but I do like the Grizzlies. I like that team a lot, but they're third. You know, I'm gonna go Titans. And I'm with you. I mean, the Stanley Cup is there's nothing like that tournament or that trophy. Certainly, Lombardi's a pretty good trophy too, though. And
it is.
There's still, you know, look, it's. I mean, the Super Bowl is the most watched thing in the world every year for a reason. So I would go there.
See, I think the Stanley Cup would be super sick and like a parade down Broadway, but just this Titans team this year and Derrick Henry coming back, I just think the storyline would be pretty awesome. And Vrabel, I just think of Vrabel in the parade of him just like, yeah, holding the trophy and maybe throwing it, maybe throwing it like Brady did to somebody, maybe to AJ or something. So I'm going Super Bowl for that. Okay.
Well, real quick, you know, Vrabel, gory movie. There could also be some gory self-mutilation with Vrabel. I mean, if he's going to actually follow through on his word. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
I guess we will.
Okay, next, non-sports. Okay. I don't know about you guys, but I hate the cold, right? There's a lot of things that come with winter that just suck. So I'm going to give you guys three options, and you have to experience this every day in the winter. Three bad options, okay? You have to walk on ice every day. It's slippery everywhere you go. So you're slipping and sliding everywhere. That's first. Second, your car won't heat up in the morning. So you have to drive in the coldness. Or three, you have to walk through the slushiness of the snow, and it gets on your car, and it's really, really gross.
So how cold are we talking here?
Well, I mean, it's cold enough for ice. Okay, let's say 30 degrees.
Okay, then I'll do the car.
Slushy?
No, I'll. You're saying which one do you not want to do or you do?
No, you have to.
You have to do. I'll do the car. If it's 30, I can live with the car rather than slip. I mean, I'll break a hip at my age, you know. So I'll go with the car. Now, if it's like in Michigan, when it's you wake up and it's 4 degrees and the car won't warm up, then I'll go through the slush. But 30, as long as it's a short drive, I can live with that.
Well, let me tell you this: I'm not going through the slush. It's not happening, and I'm not being cold in my car either. So I will take my chances walking on the ice all day long. I may fall a couple times, but I'd much rather do that than sit there and freeze my butt off in the car. So 100 times out of 100, I am walking on the ice.
Okay, so this is interesting. We've all chose different ones because I'm going to choose the slush because the ice, Robbie, that is dangerous. I saw a video of a friend who absolutely just walked out his front door and he had the doorbell camera and they got it on video. Oh, so bad. He was like all over the place. In the car, oh, that's just awful. I can't do that. So I'm going to do slush for that one. I'll put boots on or whatever. Okay.
Fine.
Now back to sports. We've got a lot of coaching changes in the NFL. A bunch of different franchises. I'm going to give you guys all the options. You can choose one franchise to flip it around. You're going to be the coach of the team. So we've got the Bears, Dolphins, Broncos, Giants, Vikings, Jags, or Raiders. Which one are you choosing?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with I'll go with the Bears. I will. I like a future in the NFC North without Aaron Rodgers, which I think is coming soon, one way or the other. I like Justin.
Ease up a little bit. He's
well,
up a little bit.
I mean,
tell him, Robbie.
Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, he's even if it's not immediately, you know, he's getting up there a little bit. I feel like, and you know, the Vikings, we'll see. I agree with you. The Vikings have a decent, you know, core of offensive players, but the Lions are the Lions. So I'm going to go with the Bears and Justin Fields. I like what he could be in this league, and that city. I mean, there's, you know, look. Talk about a city that loves a franchise, good or bad. Few places love their football team like Chicago loves the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
You just want to get down there and chum it up with Hub Arkish. That's all you want to do. Just best friends.
Hey, by the way, real quick, Good Morning Football named their most disappointing fantasy performer the Hub Arkish Award. So kudos to GMFB there.
Very well done. I mean, I'm going to do this a little bit differently. I think, you know, Minnesota would be a good spot if you want to win quickly. You know, the Raiders, I'm very tempted by as well. I'm going back to the weather part of this conversation. I will be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins every single day of the week, twice on Sundays. If that's what I'm going to have to deal with, I'll try to win a few games in the AFC East. We'll see what happens with Mac Jones and company. I can try to develop Tua. I'm cool with all that. If the weather is going to be like it is in Miami, yeah, I'll be the head coach of the Dolphins all day long.
Robbie in South Beach. Just wear your sunscreen, Rob.
Yeah, that could end poorly.
A lot of it.
I'm going to go with the Jags, actually. You know, you got Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, good pass rush. They've got another first. They got the first pick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got another first pick. And there's not really too high of expectations, at least quickly. As long as you can get, you know, a couple wins under there and not do any urban crap.
It'd be hard to screw it up worse than this
good.
Last guy. So
exactly. Just Duval, baby.
Groping for wins down there in Jacksonville.
Okay, lastly, non-sports. You have to live without one of these. AirPods or headphones, a computer, or a smartphone.
Oh, I'm getting rid of the headphones, for sure. Really, other than this job, I don't really use them all that much. So I will get rid of the AirPods and headphones, and I will take my chances with my computer and my smartphone.
You can keep two, you're saying?
Yeah, so you only have to live without one of them.
Yeah, I mean.
You could have a flip phone, though, like Andrew Luck.
Go Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as I complain about my kids and their, you know, their phone addiction, I'm just as bad just about. So, yeah, I'm gonna go the AirPods, too. As much as I like them and love to cancel out all the noise and listen to my tunes, I can just blast it on a speaker in the house and make everybody listen to it.
So even when you're traveling, no headphones, Joe.
Yeah, it's not great, but I mean, I can't give up the other two, you know?
I think I'll go flip phone.
You'll get rid of the smartphone and go flip phone?
Yeah, I'll get rid of the smartphone. And I'll use my laptop or tablet. There's so many different things and different options.
Sure,
I think I could
stream.
Use a little screen time away from my phone. It's really scary on Sundays when you see that screen time.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
What's your number?
Like 7 hours.
That's a good number.
What
that's
is yours?
I definitely have hit seven.
I think a lot of
weeks it's like 5:55, 6. Yeah.
So this is scary. Remember. My sister's in high school, and hers has hit 12 before.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh.
And I'm like, okay, there's
that's
issues
half
here.
The day.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's. I know. We're headed toward, you know, like no time without screen time.
iRobot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tyler on the text line says, I'm picking the Cup over the Super Bowl because it can happen here versus some bland neutral site game. That is true. Could have home ice advantage for the Stanley Cup.
I like that.
You could win it in Nashville.
That's true, but you also might
lose
it. You might not win it in Nashville. You know,
we've seen that before.
That's right. So, but I mean, you might win it, but not in Nashville.
That's true. And it very well could happen. This has been The Choice Is Yours, taking place every Wednesday morning at 7:45 here on the program. Good job, Michelle. That was good stuff.
Thanks, Rob.
When we come back, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they sit here and wait for their opponent coming up in the divisional round. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.